Now I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave. And the stone that you rolled away. When I was prodigal, you saw sun. When I left nine, you saw one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace.
Well, good morning. I hope you had a good swim to church this morning. That's a lot of rain out there. Looks like it doesn't stop anytime soon, but we need the rain, right? As well as the sun and every other season. So we are glad you've chosen to come to Grace Point Church this morning. And it's our hope, our prayer, that God will bless as we worship Him, that He'll speak to us, He'll receive our worship, and we'll start our worship time, which I think is part of worship, and that's fellowship. So if you will, stand where you are, find someone to say hello to. You can cross the aisles if you want to, shake somebody's hand. If you know them, give them a hug as we get started. I want to introduce to you Nick and Megan Brown and their family as they have a reading for our Advent candle today.
On this third Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of joy. We're all invited, Deck, I need that, to reflect on the joy we have access to because of our faith in Jesus. One of the defining characteristics of Christ's followers is their joyful demeanor. Let's not allow the struggles of the year steal from the great joy we have because of Jesus. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Over this Advent, would you pray that the joy... It's funny, man. That the joy of the Lord would be evident. You take over.
Would be evident in your heart and home. May God's Spirit transform the days leading up to Christmas into a time of great anticipation, preparing our hearts as we joyfully await the chance to celebrate the arrival of our King. At the end of our worship service today, the children will echo this with singing joy to the world.
Psalm 95:6 says this, so come, let us worship. Bow before Him on your knees, before God, who made us. Oh, yes, He's our God, and we are the people of His pastures, the flock that He feeds. Drop everything and listen. Listen as He speaks. I hope all of you are planning to be here if you're going to be in town for our worship time next Sunday morning and Sunday evening at 4:30 for our Christmas Eve service. And not only do I hope you'll be here, I hope you'll be inviting others to come with you. And even if you can't be here, invite your folks, your family, your friends, your coworkers. And you should have a couple of these cards. If you don't, there's some in the back. I think there were some on the pews. Just hand these out. Let people know they're invited. Even if they can't come, they'll know that you cared enough about them to let them know that they're invited here to Grace Point Church next weekend. So what do Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States, lived between 1706 and 1790, what do Benjamin Franklin and John Quincy Adams, who lived 1767 to 1848, the sixth president of the United States, what do those two people have in common? Now, we're going to find out who our history buffs are and aren't. And apparently none of us are. At one time, Benjamin Franklin and Quincy Adams were both ambassadors of the United States. Benjamin Franklin served as the U.S. ambassador to France during the American Revolution, and John Quincy Adams served as the U.S. ambassador to Russia. Both were ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? It's a representative sent out on a mission to build relationships with people in that nation. And there are all kinds of ambassadors. There are political ambassadors, economic and business ambassadors, cultural ambassadors, goodwill ambassadors. There are spiritual ambassadors. And that's where you fit in. You may not have realized it. You may not have known it. You may not have thought about it this way, but you are an ambassador. You are a spiritual ambassador, and you don't have a choice. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you've been born again, if you claim God as your God and Jesus as your Savior, you are a spiritual ambassador. I've been doing a series called Blessed to be a Blessing. We've talked about blessing others with your words. We've talked about how you can bless others with your prayers. Today we're going to be talking about blessing others through God's church. God wants to bless other people through his church and his people as we serve as his ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. So if you have your outline, have it in front of you, get a pen or a pencil, you can fill some stuff in as we go along. First of all, we're going to talk about my role as an ambassador. The first role is this, number one, I represent Jesus in the world. I represent Jesus Christ in the world. Now, to understand this, you need to understand the difference between your career and your calling, between your job and your vocation. You might work at Taco Bell, but you're not called to Taco Bell. You might work as an insurance salesman, but you're not called to be an insurance salesman. As a Christian, there's a difference between your career and your calling as a believer, as a Christian. I was talking to somebody a while back, and I asked, what do you do? They said, I'm an ambassador for Jesus disguised as a businessman. I asked a woman once, what are you? And she said, I'm an ambassador for Jesus disguised as a basketball coach. So what's your disguise? You are called as an ambassador for Jesus. You may be disguised as a mom, a nurse, a truck driver, a mechanic, a realtor, a retired person, a salesman, a teacher, an accountant, a custodian. It doesn't matter. That's your disguise. That's your job. That's your career. But your calling is to bless others by serving as God's ambassador, representing Jesus to people. In Philippians 1:27, look what it says there. Paul wrote this, be sure that you live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ. It says if you're going to be an ambassador, a representative of Jesus, you've got to live like it. This is one of the reasons I took my... Remember when Christian bumper stickers were popular? I didn't put them on my car because I wasn't a very kind driver at that time, and I don't want to give Jesus a bad name. You think I'm kidding. I'm not. I really didn't. So when you're playing a game of pickup game, of basketball, baseball, remember who you represent. When you go to the grocery store, the theater, you're in line in traffic, remember who you represent. When you're frustrated with the clerk and you want to chew them out, remember who you represent. Paul said in Ephesians 4:1, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Being an ambassador is not just for pastors. People think that. It's not true, folks. Being a pastor of this church is my job. I get paid to do this. You didn't know that, did you? This is my job. My calling is to be an ambassador for Christ, just like you. It's for every believer. So live worthy of that calling. My role as an ambassador, I represent Jesus in the world. And secondly, number two, I've been given a mission. Years ago, from 1966 to 1973, the television show Mission Impossible always began with a scene in which the team leader, Mr. Phelps, would receive a tape describing his next mission. And the tape invariably began, your mission, what did it say? Should you accept it? Do anybody remember that besides me? Yeah, all the old people here, right? Your mission, should you choose to accept it? Ambassadors are sent on diplomatic missions. In fact, the embassies where ambassadors work are called permanent missions. Did you know, folks, that you have a mission. The moment you step across the line spiritually, you become a follower of Jesus. God has a mission for your life. The mission is to be his ambassador to anybody you come in contact with, to share the love of God with them. When you're on a mission, folks, that's all that matters. You're not there to see the scenery or take pictures. You're not there to try the local cuisine. As an ambassador, you're there on a mission. And of all the missions in the world, the most important mission of all is helping people to know God, to know Jesus Christ, to settle their eternal destiny. Because they're only going to be on this earth for a short period of time. All of us, we get 60 years, 70, 80, some get 90. That's about it. They need to know that they're going to spend eternity for millions, trillions of years. And we need to fulfill the mission God has called us to do, and that's to share the love of Christ with them. Look what it says in Acts 20, verse 24. I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me. What's that work? To tell people the good news about God's grace. Do you understand that? That's not for just me as a believer. It's for every believer. It's for all of you. It's for all of us. Paul said his job was to complete his mission. And at the end of his life, you know what Paul said? Literally at the end of his life, he said, I've completed my mission. I've finished the race. He did what God called him to do. He fulfilled his mission. I hope at the end of my life I'm going to be able to say that. I fulfilled what God called me to do. I hope as an ambassador of Christ, you will do the same thing. Things try to hold us back. I understand that. Things get in the way. But we need to fulfill our mission. My role as an ambassador, I represent Jesus in the world. I've been given a mission. And number three, I have been given authority to speak. I've been given authority to speak. Any of you remember a former vice president by the name of Al Gore? Al Gore had a tendency to misspeak. He didn't speak well, and I don't mean articulate. I don't mean literally coming out of his mouth. He didn't speak well. He made a lot of misspoken mistakes. Let me give you a couple of them. See if you remember. Al Gore said that he was the first human to grow an opposable thumb. Really? He said he invented the dog. He said that. He said he pulled the United States out of an early 90s recession by personally buying 6,000 t-shirts. He said it. Look it up. And the thing we most were like blown away by, he said that he invented what? The internet. You all know. How? I'm not going to put the man down. I didn't vote for him, but. Sometimes people just speak and they shouldn't. Would you agree with that? But we as believers, we've been given authority to speak about the good news of Jesus. Sometimes we may not feel very confident talking about God to other people. Maybe we feel a little insecure, a little unsure, a little timid, a little hesitant. Who am I to talk to somebody about Jesus? But God says you are authorized to do so. Whenever you represent God, whenever you speak for God, he's going to empower you to do so. Look at the verses in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go to all people everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I will be with you always. This verse is called the Great Commission. It's our mission in life. The Great Commission wasn't given to pastors or to missionaries. It wasn't given to priests or elders or professional evangelists. Jesus gave this great commission to tell others. He gave it to every one of his single followers, none of them who were theologically trained, none of them who were pastors. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. Jesus gave it to them, and he gave it to you. He gave it to me. He gave it to every believer in the world. One day God's going to ask you a question. Did you complete the mission I gave you? Did you live out being the ambassador that I wanted you to be? The Bible teaches this over and over. You are authorized to speak for Jesus. Not on our own behalf. We don't get that authorization from us, but God says, I authorize you. I give you a mission, and I'm going to give you the authority to speak. Now let's look secondly as your role as an ambassador. Fourthly, if you're a believer, you got to realize that you serve in a foreign culture. Fill that in. We represent Jesus. We've been given a mission. We've been given authority to speak, and you serve in a foreign culture. If you're a believer, folks, your home is not on earth. Your homeland is in heaven, and your identity is in eternity. We're just passing through. One day we're going to be with God forever. 1 Peter 1:17 put it this way. If you call God your Father, live your time as temporary residents on earth. Some people live here in such a way that they think they're going to be here forever, and they're not. Ambassadors typically rent their home. They don't buy it because they know they're just an ambassador. And when the next administration comes, they're going to be their way, on their way out, and someone else is going to come and be the new ambassador. So they rent their homes. The mission is there forever, but they rent their homes because they know they're not going to be there very long. And that's the way it is for us as believers. What Jesus is saying here is, don't get too comfortable living in this world. As the song went, Jason, I'm just a passing through. I'm not here forever. Don't get comfortable. You're an ambassador. Don't get sucked into the myth that all there is here and now. That's not true. Your role as an ambassador, your role is to represent Jesus, fulfill your mission, speak in Jesus' name with authority, because you live in a foreign culture. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. All that other people think about is life here on earth, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. I really thought sometimes that as Christians we should be offered green cards, because our citizenship is really in heaven. We're just passing through. Heaven, that's where your home is. So what am I supposed to do? The Bible says three things. To bless others through God's church, we need to carry out our responsibilities as ambassadors. What are those responsibilities? Fill this in your outline. First of all, the number one responsibility is we must set an example. We must set an example. The first thing God wants you to do is to help other people know what God is like by being an example to them of God's character and his qualities. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, meekness, and self-control are some of the ways we show God to other people. Did you ever fail in any of those? Were you sometimes not so loving to someone? Maybe not so joyful? You ran out of peace and patience and gentleness with a person or two, or with a whole bunch of people? 1 Peter 2:12 says this, people who believe do not believe are living all around the world that you might say you are doing wrong. So live such good lives that they will see the good things you do and will give glory to God. Live life so they're going to see that something's different about you. And you can tell them it's all about God. The first job of an ambassador for Jesus is to set a good example. An ambassador to a foreign country was asked one day, what's the most difficult part of being an ambassador? And he said, you're always on duty. You're always being watched. Everywhere I go, people look at me, and I may be the only American they know, but if after work I go out to a restaurant, people are still watching me. Isn't that the ambassador of the United States? And they see if I'm cranky to a waitress, he said, or if I'm demanding, or if I'm grouchy, if I'm egotistical, or if I act like a prima donna. He said, we're always being watched as ambassadors. And that's the same as us. We're ambassadors and people are watching. That's one of the things I had to struggle with as a pastor, because some people think the pastor, right? I have always, always tried to live my life just like you. I'm me. I don't have it all together. People sometimes expect more of me than I could ever give. I know they expect more of John than he could ever give. Jason, he's kind of in the middle right there. I've never tried to put on a show when I go out and eat. Now, I try to live like it says. I try not to chew the waitress out. I do all that. But none of us are perfect. But we shoot for it. We strive for that. So my question is, how well does your life, daily life, represent Jesus? Can anybody tell from your example what God is like? If they look at you, if they look at me and say, Jesus must be very kind because that guy's kind or she's kind. Jesus must be patient because in his life, he's patient, she's patient. Jesus must be forgiving because that person who I saw deal with somebody who was just difficult to deal with, they were very patient with them. Bless others through God's church by being an example of Jesus. These are the things God wants us to remember as ambassadors. Be an example. Number two, share the message. Share the message. We have a message that God has given us, and he wants us to share it with others. It's interesting in politics or in diplomacy, ambassadors have often been used in history to end wars. Ambassadors are sent to negotiate the peace. Ambassadors are sent to sign the treaty when the two sides says, we're going to stop fighting each other. Ambassadors are sent to bring reconciliation between warring entities and conflicting groups. It's not an accident that God chose that term to refer to us as ambassadors. We're here to help people make peace with God. We're here to help people reconcile their relationship with God. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Anyone who's joined to Christ becomes a new person. The old is gone. All this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends. Also, our message is that God was making all human beings his friends through Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins, and he has given us the message which tells how he makes them his friends. Aren't you glad that God's not keeping an account of our sins? When we receive Christ, He forgives us for what we've done. He forgives us for what we're doing. He forgives us for what we're going to do. Now, I know some pastors say, you can't tell that because then they'll just go out and do anything. I don't believe that. I believe if you're saved, you want to do what God wants you to do. We fail, we falter, we fumble, but we're trying. We're trying. We must be an example. We must share the message. Based on these verses that Paul wrote, the first part of our message is that Jesus offers everybody a new life. Anybody joined to Christ becomes a new person. This is the message of regeneration, the message of a new birth in God, in Christ. You get a brand new life, a brand new start. You ever get halfway into painting a room and say, I wish I could start over? You ever get halfway into any project and you wish you could just start over? Halfway climbing up a mountain and you thought this was going to be a nice hike and you're like, oh my gosh, I just need to start over. God says you can start over. You can start over. That's what he offers us through Jesus. Part of our message is that Jesus ends our war with God. Before we were ever saved, the Bible says we were at war with him. Where's the war? The war is the conflict in your soul on who's going to be God, you or God. The Bible says every human being and all of its humanity is in rebellion against God because we want to be in control of our lives. We want to be number one in our lives. We want to be on the top of the food chain in our lives. That's like trying to just be God. God says, no, I can reconcile you through what Christ did. That's the good news. That's the good message we are to share. And I don't understand how it happens, but God, through Christ, wipes out our sin, wipes out our previous life before we knew him. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:19 through chapter 6, verse 1. God was in Christ, making peace between the world and himself. In Christ, God did not hold the world guilty of its sins. And he gave us this message of peace. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. It is as if God is calling to you through us. We speak for Christ when we beg you to be at peace with God. Christ had no sin, but God made him to become sin so that in Christ we could become right with God. We are workers together with God. The Bible says that any person's life before they come to know Christ, they are at war with God. And we share with them as ambassadors the good news of Jesus. Paul said, we've been sent to speak for Christ. That's what we do as his ambassadors. So bless others through your church as ambassadors of God, sharing the good news with others. And you know, folks, share good news. Would you do that? I mean, I don't mind if you remind somebody that they're a sinner, but I want you to tell them, first of all, we all are. You aren't. And not me. You are not me. No, we all are. We all are. We have the chance to have the same salvation through the same Jesus who died on the cross to forgive us. And they died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to forgive them, whoever them is. It's good news we share. I've heard so many people, not just pastors, so many Christians. It's like they're angry. Or you're just going to go to hell. You think they don't already know that? Anybody who's committed a sin feels terrible about themselves, even if they don't admit it. I guarantee you it's down in their conscious, probably in their subconscious somewhere, just reminding them over and over again, I failed. I'm not going to make it. I'm terrible. I'm a sinner. I've done these things. That kind of self-talk will ruin a person. And you know what we can do about that? Listen to me. Get close. We've got good news. Good news. It's Christmas time. We're buying Christmas presents. Don't you think it's great when you go into a store and what used to cost $69.99 now costs $39.99? That's good news, right? I don't think any of us, including me, realize how much good news we really have through Jesus. And I know there are millions of people. Let's break it down. There are probably thousands of people within reach of this church that don't know Jesus yet. And during this Christmas time, what a better time to say, I've got some good news for you. One of the ways you can do it is invite them to church next week. We got Sunday morning service, Christmas Eve service at 4:30, and I'm going to be sharing good news with them. Jason and our band, our singers, they're going to be sharing good news with the songs they bring. They're going to hear good news about Christmas next week. Please invite, please bring someone with you. We must be an example. We share the message, we talk it, we share it verbally, and we need to show love. We need to show love. Why must an ambassador of Jesus Christ show love to everyone we meet? Because God is love. And if you show anything but love to other people, you're not representing Jesus. Someone has said, don't tell me about God's love. Show me God's love first, and then I'll let you tell me. How do I show love to the people in my life, the people I work with, my neighbors, my family, my coworkers? How do I show love to my enemies? How do I show love to my boss? How do I do it? Let me suggest three ways. First, you show love by using your life to meet other people's needs. Meet their needs in a practical way, whether it's taking them a meal, helping them with a project, offering them a ride, or praying for them, picking up something at the grocery store for them. Help them. Help them some way, that, a way that they can see it and they can feel it. That's what an ambassador does. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we loved you so much that we gave you not only God's good news, but our lives too. We tell them the good news, and then we say, and I'm here to help in any way I can. And listen, when we say that, let me know if you need me to help you. Most people aren't going to tell you anything. Find a way. We're smart enough to find a way to help them. If you can't find a specific way, do something to help them in general. Take them a cake. Pick up something that fell into their lawn. Do something. Do something. Show love. If you're going to be an ambassador, sometimes you got to get out of the embassy. I like coming to church. I do. I like coming in here. I like you. I love you. I love the songs we sing. I love the fellowship we have. I love the warmth that I feel. I love the acceptance that I receive. Even though you know I miss it, I'm not perfect, you're there, and I'm there for you. I love coming to church. I could stay here a while. We could take a break, go back there in the fellowship hall, eat some, and then come on back. I love being here. We are the people. We are the church inside a church building. But sometimes we got to get out of the embassy to where people live and where people work. Where people are hurting, where people need love. Meet each other's needs. Meet other people's needs. The second way you can show love is by giving respect to everyone. An ambassador of Jesus Christ, you're not allowed to be disrespectful to people. We shouldn't be that way. Why? Because God values every person. We may not, but God does. We know what people do. We know some things that people have done that have been horrific. But at one point in time, God brought that person into the world. And that person wasn't like that when they were born. Sinners like the rest of us. But God says, I value you. I created you. I am your God. God values every person. It doesn't matter who they are, what they've done. He doesn't like what they do. He doesn't like what we do, but he values us. Do you see the difference? You understand that. The Bible says to value people like God does, to treat every person with respect, with dignity, because God does. Just remember, folks, when people act out, everybody has a story. Everybody has a backstory. And you may not know what it is, and they may not know mine, but everybody has it. So be patient. Be full of grace. First Peter 3, 15 and 16 says this: be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have, but do it how? With gentleness and respect. We're called to be gentle with every person. We're called to be respectful of every person, to give value and dignity to them, because God does that. Why do we do that as ambassadors? Because we're called to do it as ambassador of Jesus. We represent Jesus. And we must show love by building bridges. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9. Verses 22 and 23, he said, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. I do this to get the good news to them and also for the blessing I myself receive when I see them come to Christ. You're going to hear this when we do our membership class. I camp here in these verses for a long time. You want to know how you can bless somebody? You want to know the best way to be an ambassador for Jesus? Find something in common with them, talk about it, live it with them, and they'll let you tell them. When Paul wrote this, there was one city that Paul wrote to that was a pagan city. I mean pagan. Nothing about God. They were the worst sinners, and they liked it. They enjoyed it. And they worshiped everything. They had up around their church, they had idols. They had an idol for the sun, and they worshiped the sun. They had an idol for the moon. They had an idol for the ground. They had an idol for food. They had an idol. They had idols all the way around. And at the end of all their idols, they had another idol. And it was an idol to the unknown God, in case they missed one. And Paul walked in, no doubt his spirit felt Satan, he felt the negativity about God, and then he looked up and he said, hey, what's this? And they said, it's an unknown God. We don't know. Maybe we don't know them all. And Paul said, here's what I have in common with you. Let me tell you about that one. And Paul told them about God from his life, and those folks got saved. People are out there living without the knowledge of the unknown God. And Paul says, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with them. So they let me tell them about Jesus. Our job is to build a job, build respect and love everyone so that Jesus can allow us to walk across that bridge. The goal, that's the reason we find common ground, so we can do this. Now look at the reward of an ambassador real quickly. Look at the reward of an ambassador. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24, Paul said, whatever you do, always work at it with your whole heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. Remember that the Lord will give you a reward, the inheritance he has kept for his people, for Christ is the real master that you serve. No matter what you do, you should be enthusiastic at it. Be enthusiastic about it. Folks, it's time for us to be a blessing to others by being the ambassadors for Jesus that he's called us to be. Bless others through your church by being that ambassador. Show love, share the message, be the example. What better time to live out being an ambassador of the good news of Jesus than when most folks are thinking about him at Christmas? I'm going to give you a chance to respond like we always do. I don't know how God's speaking to you about this. I hope he's just teaching you. You're an ambassador. You need to go out there and be an ambassador. Do the things we talked about. So you can respond. The band's going to come back up here and sing in just a minute, a response song. You can stay right where you are and sing. You can hum it. You can just listen to it. Maybe you just want to be where you are. You can pray right where you are. You just want to meditate. You just want to ask God, God, give me some insight here about what this means to my life. If you'd like, me and Janine will be down front here. We'll be glad to come talk with you, and you can come and we'll pray with you one-on-one. If you'd like to go over to the table where the cross is, if you'd like, there's just a pen and pencil that you can write something down in that paper and fold it in half. Maybe it's a praise. God, I'm privileged to be your ambassador. Thanks for reminding me. God, here's a person whose name I know, and I interact with them. Here's a family I know. Write their name down. Hold it. And literally just nail it to the cross and say, God, help me to be an ambassador to them. If you'd like, you can fill out your Connect card. If you have prayer requests, you can put them on the back and just drop these in the white boxes around the church. Pastors will get that information. You want to be an ambassador, you can give your offering. If you're a guest with us, we don't expect you to give an offering. If you're one of our regular attenders, one of our members, we expect you to give as God directs you. That helps us become ambassadors as a church. You want to be an ambassador? Take a card and give it to somebody this week about our Christmas Eve and our Christmas service next Sunday. Let's go be ambassadors the way God wants us to be. Okay? You going to sign up for that? You already did. I'm just reminding you. Let's pray together. God, you've been so good to us. And actually, Lord, it's a privilege and an honor to be your ambassador, to be able to represent Jesus and to tell the good news of Jesus, to be an example to others of Jesus, to value people and honor people with dignity the way Jesus did. And even though Jesus took some of them to task because of the way they lived, mainly because of their pride, he still valued them or he wouldn't have taken time with them. God, some people we want to write off. I don't believe you write them off. Not as long as they're alive here. So God, help us to be the ambassadors that you've called us to be. Now, during this time of response, God, you've worked in our hearts. You spoke to us. You got us ready for today before we ever got here. May we respond accordingly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh, wow. That's fun. That is so much fun. Well, I tell you what, everybody stand up with us, and we're going to close in a word of prayer. And I tell you what, don't miss out. We got next Sunday morning at 10:30, our normal service on Christmas Eve, and then 4:30. And come early. I would say this, too. If you are a regular attender and don't mind parking a little further away, now today you wanted to park as close as possible. And we need to, when I go out there with that umbrella from now on, I'm going to carry a brick or something. You don't have to step in the water. So, thank you for being here today. But if you can park a little further away, when you come in, sit down near the front, because it'll probably be a pretty good crowd, probably at both services next week. We hope you'll be back with us. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for these children as they have shared from their hearts about ringing the bells, about joy to the world. Help us as we go out from this place to show your joy and your love. May it be a great week as we prepare our hearts for Christmas. May we be ambassadors for you wherever we go. Lord, we thank you for the message, the challenge that we've had, and we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen.